You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas.
Takes the snap. It's a run to Jacobs, trying the left side. Burst through a hole, 40, 45, 50. Down the near side, 40. And a stiff arm. They're not going to catch him. Jacobs in the 10, 5. Touchdown, Raiders. Josh Jacobs burst through the hole and sprinted 63 yards for his longest play of the season.
Live at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino, it's Unnecessary Roughness. Here's your boy Q.
It's Monday Night Football, huh? We're back at the Oyo Hotel and Casino, huh? Underground Lounge, huh? Talking some football, huh? Yes, we're doing it on Raider Nation Radio, huh? Ari, back in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. I am at the Oyo Hotel and Casino. The Underground Lounge is where we hang out. Tyler Dragon from USA Today Sports joins us now. And Tyler, that was my juvenile impersonation. I don't know how it went over, but that was my juvenile impersonation for you.
You did pretty good. I have to give you some credit.
There you go. There you go. That's the way to have my back, man. Even if it was bad, you had my back, so I can appreciate that. Earlier today, I want to get into all the action on the field with you, all the teams that are doing really well, like the Philadelphia Eagles, who won in overtime against the Bills. But before we get into that, I did want to ask you real quick what you thought about Frank Reich being out in Carolina after 11 games, and he's the third coach that owner David Tepper has fired in season since he's taken over the ownership.
Yeah, so I have to admit, I thought it was a little bit premature. I think Frank Reich should have probably had the ability to finish out the season, and then you make a decision from there. Really, the Panthers aren't going anywhere this season. We all know that. Their offense is abysmal. Their defense leaves a lot to be desired. I get the move. Frank Reich really has not shown the ability to get that offense rolling, and Bryce Young does not look like a really good quarterback right now at this point in the season. Now, the jury is still out on him, obviously, being a rookie and new in the NFL, and he has to get acclimated with the speed of the game and everything. But it just didn't seem like a fit between Bryce Young and Frank Reich in the way that David Tepper wants his franchise to be constructed. So I do think it was the right move. However, it was a little bit premature. I think he should have at least been able to finish out the season in Carolina.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who they actually tap for that job. I know there's already some leaders in the clubhouse like Ben Johnson of the Lions, but we'll see who, in fact, takes that job. I don't know if Ben Johnson is going to be looking at that one as the ideal location since there'll be so many following the season. As far as the action on the field, I mentioned the Eagles and the Bills. What a fantastic game. Philly wins in overtime. How good are they, in your opinion, and how good is Jalen Hurts?
The Eagles are the best team in the NFC, and I just wrote a column today on USA Today that the Ravens are the best team in the AFC. Ironically, they're my Super Bowl pick entering the season. But, yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles, they can beat you in a variety of different ways. And what really stuck out to me yesterday is they did not play their best brand of football. But at the end, when it mattered the most, when the game was in the balance, Jalen Hurts and that offense buckled down and had a game-winning drive. And even that defense stepped up when it mattered most late in the game. And Josh Allen threw that errant pass. There was a little bit of miscommunication with Gabe Davis there, but they didn't execute. And you have to give the Philadelphia Eagles credit for having the quarterback under duress and having the receiver confused a little bit in the heat of the moment. So at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses, and the Eagles just find ways to win, that best record in all of football, and they are easily the best team in the NFC. I cannot wait for this weekend's bout between the Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers in Philly.
Yeah, man, that's going to be a good one. And as you mentioned, the best record, they're 10-1 after that victory over the Bills. And, you know, it's funny, I thought that they were going to take a slight step back, and maybe they have with the way that they're finding ways to win, but their overall record is 10-1 and the best in the NFC. Are you surprised that coming off the Super Bowl, the way that they lost, and more times than not, there's a Super Bowl hangover and that team is just not as good, not to mention they lost two of their coordinators offensively and defensively, but yet they're still right there. Does that surprise you at all about Philadelphia?
I'm actually not. I was in the Philadelphia Eagles locker room when they lost the Super Bowl, and the morale of the team, yes, they were down, but you felt a sense of they wanted to get back and get back to the Super Bowl in a hurry. So with that being said, the way that they started this year with a 5-0 before, you know, faltering to the Jets and then going on another win streak that's still active right now, I am not surprised at all. And it starts with Jalen Hurts. He was motivated after that loss. He had that crucial fumble in the Super Bowl. And just the way he's been able to bounce back and rally under adversity, even when times are difficult during the game. Times were difficult yesterday during that game. He was neutralized in the first half, but bounced back strong. And that's just a credit to his determination. And that feeds off throughout the whole team. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, that offensive line, that defensive line, they are determined to get back to the Super Bowl and right the wrongs and hoist the Lombardi Trophy this season.
Well, I'll tell you, they're on the first thing smoking. They're heading in the right direction as they're 10-1. Like you said, next week's game is going to be really intriguing. Can't wait to see how that one plays out. Again, Tyler Dragon from USA Today Sports is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness. Tonight, Monday Night Football closing out Week 12 is going to be Minnesota and Chicago. There's been a lot of rumors and reports about Justin Fields. Of course, right now they have Carolina's number one pick, which is number one. Do you think Justin Fields is auditioning for the rest of the league right now?
Yeah, I believe so, especially if the Bears end up having the number one overall draft pick. They have the Carolina Panthers pick right now based off last year's trade. And right now, if the season ended today, they would have the top pick. And you have to believe they're going to select a quarterback with that number one overall pick. Justin Fields, yes, he's auditioning. But I really do believe this is a chance for him to prove to teams that he can be a pocket passer. We all know he's a dual-threat quarterback, but he needs to continue to show that he can pass with accuracy, pass with precision, and lead a team on offense within the pocket. We know he can extend plays with his feet, but that's what people want to see, if he can be an accurate passer of the football these next games to close out the Chicago season.
We know what C.J. Stroud is doing in Houston, and, of course, there's always been that, you know, that storyline of Ohio State quarterbacks don't get it done in the NFL. Well, C.J. Stroud has proven he can get it done. In your opinion, can Justin Fields get it done for some franchise? Can he be that franchise quarterback, or is he just really a runner, what we've seen so far?
Yeah, I believe he can. It's just all about the system that he's in. What kind of offensive coordinator and head coach is he going to have? What kind of offensive line? What kind of receivers is he going to have at his disposal? This is the first year where he's had a legitimate number one wide receiver in DJ Moore, and we've seen flashes where Fields has been productive with DJ Moore when he's on the field. So he needs a lot of pieces around him. There are very few quarterbacks in the NFL that are franchise elite type quarterbacks. There's probably about five of them. Then there's like those middle tier quarterbacks where they need ample help around them, but they're still pretty good quarterbacks. And I feel Justin Fields is on the cusp of that. He just needs to go out and prove it that he can do it with his arm and not all the time his legs.
So with all that being said, let me ask you the million-dollar question. If there's a team out there, any team that needs a quarterback when it's all said and done, what do you think they would have to give up to Chicago to get Justin Fields' services?
Oh, man. I would say second-round pick. I don't believe he's going to command a first-round pick, although the Bears are going to ask that.
Of course, yeah.
A second-round, maybe even a third-round pick, and multiple picks, and for that fact, I do think the Bears can get for Justin Fields. I just don't believe it's going to be a first rounder for him.
Right. Now, look, I'm asking for a first round pick for everybody. Look, I'm asking for a first round pick for Tyler Dragon to be on the radio, right? Like, hey, let me get a first round pick just for Tyler's services, just on the air for quick 15 minutes. So, I mean, we always got to start with a first round pick, but we'll see what happens when it comes to Justin Fields and the Bears. Again, Tyler Dragon from USA Today Sports is with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. You mentioned Baltimore, the Ravens. They're a really good team. They're a team that I picked Lamar Jackson to be the league MVP, and they're fantastic. But, Tyler, I feel like two or three times a game they give an opportunity – for another team to get away. We saw that against the Chargers as well. They ultimately won the game, but it's just like they left them in the game a couple times, gave them chances. Is that going to ultimately be their Achilles heel, or are they good enough to overcome those situations?
Yeah, I talked to Kyle Hamilton and Patrick Queen about that exact question yesterday, and I asked him point blank, you know, you've given up three games where you've had leads in the fourth quarter where you should have won. And that was really their motivation to get things done before their bye week against the Los Angeles Chargers. They had the game in the balance. The defense was on the field, and they had needed to stop Justin Herbert and L.A. Chargers from getting the first down and getting into field goal range. And they not only stopped them, they made them turn the ball over and down, not once but twice to end the game. And so they can build off of that performance when they get in those types of situations before. They failed in previous weeks. We saw what happened against the Colts. We saw what happened against the Steelers and the Browns. But credit to them, they bounced back, had a similar situation against the L.A. Chargers, and came up victorious. So I think they can build on that performance, and that will be successful for them later on in the season during the stretch run.
Looking at the Chargers, they found another way to lose, and that's kind of what the Chargers do. Is Brandon Staley being out when it's all said and done, is that the inevitable?
He's on the hottest of seats in the NFL right now. I can say that the Chargers should have been a playoff team, but right now they are on the outside looking in the playoffs, and they need a miracle to get a postseason berth. And I do believe if Brandon Staley does not lead the Chargers into the postseason, he deserves to get his pink slip at the end of the season.
Well, what direction do they go in? Sean Payton's in Denver, where I thought that that made the most sense, but he's in Denver and they're successful right now. What direction do you think the Chargers would go?
If I was the Chargers owner, and unfortunately I do not have a billion-dollar pocketbook, I would have a Hail Mary, and I would place a call to New England Patriots to try to convince Bill Belichick to join the team in a trade, or I would Michigan. And Harbaugh looks like he's running out of favor in Michigan, and he's dealing with a lot of NCAA rules and regulations. So place up a call up to Ann Arbor and see if Harbaugh is willing to come down to L.A. and coach in the NFL again.
Wow, that would be interesting. Wouldn't that be a hell of a division? Andy Reid,
yeah.
Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, and – whatever happens with the Raiders, either Antonio Pierce or whoever else they decide to bring in. That's interesting. Let me go back to what you said, though, about Bill Belichick. You think that that would be a good fit in L.A.?
Yeah, you know, the Chargers are one of the teams that have never won a Super Bowl championship. Bill Belichick has plenty of jewelry, and they need somebody that is a commander and has the cachet to go in the locker room and build and create a winning type of environment. And what a better coach can do that than Bill Belichick, one of the best coaches in NFL history, with a franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see if they would pull that trigger, and if the Spanos family could get Bill Belichick up out of New England. That would be, well, you want to talk about a hell of an AFC West. Boy, that'd be a hell of an AFC West. Put Bill Belichick in the division along with Sean Payton and along with Andy Reid. And, again, going back to whatever the Raiders do with their coaching position, either Antonio Pierce or other whoever they decide. So let me go ahead and go there. What do you think about so far through 4 weeks with Antonio Pierce as the interim coach? What do you think that he's done? How do you, how do you kind of look at that position right now?
I think it should be Antonio Pierce. They should knock the interim tag off his name and make him the official head coach. He's done a good job. I know they've had some tough losses the last 2 weeks, but I just like the way that they've been competing, their effort. And they've been in games. They had a big lead against the Chiefs, but we all know they lost. But I like how they are responding to him and the way they're competing out every Sunday. And that deserves some credit. And, you know, he has experience in the NFL sidelines. He has experience in the college sidelines with Arizona State and Long Beach Poly. And he just looks like a Raiders head coach. I loved his introductory press conference when he was saying he was an NWA fan and grew up a Raiders fan.
Yeah.
That galvanizes not only the fan base, but he can connect with players in that locker room, being a former player himself, and I really do believe that he's the right man for the job.
You know, I had a former player tell me that, you know, you need a leader. You don't need an X's and O's guy. You can get an X's and O's guy anywhere, but you need that strong leadership. And kind of in the image of what Dan Campbell's doing, what D'Amico Ryans is doing in Houston, that's what I look at Antonio Pierce and say, you know what, I could see him being similar to those two guys. Is that the kind of vibes you get as well?
Well, I'll say this. Josh McDaniels was an X's and O's guy. We see how that turned out.
Right.
They need a player. They need somebody in the sidelines like Antonio Pierce. And you could already see it right now, what he's building right now in Las Vegas, and I think he needs to continue that.
Final question for you, and we'll stick with the AFC West. I mentioned Denver and that they're playing really well, and look, they're the hottest team in football right now. Sean Payton seemed like he's figured things out there with Russell Wilson. What have you thought about the current 5-game winning streak that the Broncos are on?
Well, you have to give them a whole lot of credit. They've seemed to rectify the ship and turn things around in Denver. Now, I have to admit, they haven't played the greatest competition. Now, yes, in that 5-game winning streak, they did beat the Chiefs. The last two games, the Browns without their starting quarterback, the Vikings without their starting quarterback. I really want to see what they go up and do in Houston, if they can beat C.J. Stroud and the Texans. But you have to give credit where credit's due. They beat every single opponent the last 5 weeks on their calendar, including the Chiefs, including the Bills, Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. They've seemed to get things going on offense. They're not asking Russell Wilson to do too much. Just manage the game. Don't turn the ball over. And he has his defense playing really well, and that's why they're on this current winning streak.
Yeah, no, they're playing some really good ball right now. I got to give them credit for what they're able to pull off and the way that they're handling their business. Well, Tyler, fantastic stuff as always, my man. You mentioned the article that you put out earlier. What all are you working on that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I'll have an article coming up later this week about the Patriots and the Chargers. I kind of previewed it, why Bill Belichick might be the answer for the Chargers in L.A. too. But, yeah, if you go on USAtoday.com right now, you can see my column on the Baltimore Ravens and why they're the best team currently in the AFC.
Nice. I like it. Well, we'll definitely go check that out. Tyler, as always, man, thanks so much for your time. Hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving holiday, and we'll be talking soon, my man.
Thanks for having me on. Happy holidays to you, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Tyler Dragon on Twitter, at the Tyler Dragon. Check him out. Good friend of the show. Definitely appreciate him and his time. 4:17 is the time. We're at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino. We're here every single Monday night for Monday Night Football. And want to get into some sounds from the locker room, man. We've got a lot of players that we had an opportunity to catch up with. Josh Jacobs, Jacoby Myers, Max Crosby, Hunter Renfrow, Devontae Adams, Amik Robertson, Amir Abdullah. We talked to everybody. Everybody that we had a chance to catch up with, we did exactly that. So let's go ahead and start off with Amik Robertson. And I want to start off with Amik because he took that loss personal. Like, he was really upset, and it wasn't a long conversation, but you could just hear the emotions in his voice and that he was really upset that the Raiders didn't find a way to win that game. So here we go. Quick minute with Amik Robertson in the Raiders locker room following the loss to the Chiefs.
So you guys get some early defensive stops. You guys get up 14-0. What do you feel like kind of changed, or when do you feel the momentum changed with Kansas City and what they started able to do offensively?
That same Kansas City team. Run a quarterback, scramble around, whatever, and just throw the ball.
You guys had the lead last year, and then you lost it. And you had the lead this year, and you lose it. Do you feel like it's just the same game, different day?
And I don't like losing to them. And I'm a competitive person. You know, at the end of the day, we didn't execute. We didn't do our job. And we came out with an L.
How badly do you guys need this bye week? Seems like you're really banged up, especially on defense. Do you think it's coming in?
Honestly, how I feel, man. A bad week. I was worried about the win. That's all I was worried about. You know, we lost a couple games this year, but for some reason, you know, for me, this one just hurts, you know, because I know we better than that team. I know we got more dogs. I know we better than that team. So, you know, I'm just pissed off that we couldn't pull out the win.
Is that the same feeling that the rest of the locker room has, in your opinion?
Yes, I mean, of course, because a lot of competitive guys, we put the work in, you know, and we know that we better than that team.
Again, short but sweet from Amik. You get the gist of it. You understand exactly where he was going with that. You can hear the anger and the frustration in his voice that they lost that game. And, you know, you could laugh and say whatever when he said that, you know, I know that we're better than that team and we got a lot of dogs in this locker room. And the reason I asked is that why everyone feels that way is because of the lackluster play from Marcus Peters. I also asked that question because of the irresponsibility and the selfishness of Roderick Teamer the night before. So I wanted to, without just calling those guys out, by the way, Marcus Peters was the first dude out of the locker room. before we even got in the locker room, he was already hightailing it out. Me and Paul Gutierrez saw him walk right by us. And Paul said, "Hey, Q, there goes your boy." And I go, "Hey, there goes your boy." Like, I mean, nobody wanted to claim him at that point. But, yeah, he was on the way out. And so that's why I asked the question, you know, is that how everyone feels? Because that's what you have to have. If you're going to win together as a team, you've got to have buy-in from your team. And especially the guys that are all out there. They can't be out there because they want a business decision. They can't be out there because they're getting a check at the end of the day and it's their last few checks that they'll be getting in their career. They can't do that. They've got to be out there for the sake of we want to win as a team, as a unit. We believe in the guy next to us. And unfortunately, so far throughout the course of the year, and obviously it don't matter now because Marcus Peters is gone, but more times than not, we got into that locker room and he was already gone. Or if he wasn't already gone, he was on his way out. Right? And not that, you know, you're showing that you're a teammate by talking to us, but you could just tell that the focus as far as being with the brothers in that locker room was not really there. Amik is always there. Win, lose, whatever the case may be. Tough loss, he played well, he plays bad. He's always there. And you can hear the emotion in his voice. And that's what I could appreciate from a guy like Amik Robertson. So I know a lot of people, it really caught on nationally. All they did is took that little clip from when he said that we're better than them, and everyone's kind of running with that. Oh, you're better than them. Haven't won it. Again, it's not always the exact words that are being said. He's basically saying that they're better than what they put out there on the field. They're closer to, he believes, they're closer to that team that they played against as opposed to what the end result was, where they lost by 14 points after Kansas City went on a 31-3 run. Another guy that I asked a similar question to is Hunter Renfro. And Paul Gutierrez and myself, we really kind of got into this conversation with Hunter. He was the first guy we caught up to in the locker room, and a few others joined us after that. But here's Hunter Renfro in the Raiders locker room. Paul Gutierrez is starting us off.
We've been part of these battles now for a few years. I mean, what is it about that Kansas City offense that you know that they can just turn it on at a dime?
Yeah. I mean, they did a good job offensively, and, you know, Mahomes is one of the best players in the NFL for a reason.
So even when you guys are up two scores, you're not feeling like there's any...
No, I mean, we were up 17-0 last year, right?
Yeah.
And we were up 14-0 this year, and I think, you know, but, you know, if we do a good job of executing and go out there and we, you know, aren't short on that fourth down, then, you know, we can go and score again, and you just never know how the game turns out. So offensively, we got to do a better job.
Hunter, why do you feel the offense wasn't able to sustain the efficiency that the game that they started with on the first several drives?
I wish I knew. You know, I think we're all trying to figure it out. And you know, they make adjustments. You know, their D coordinator is one of the best for a reason. And but we just have to keep plugging away and do what got us up 14-0.
What are you guys looking forward to in this bye week?
Getting healthy. That's the biggest thing. I mean, we're what, 5-7? And so 5-7, and, you know, there's nothing against us winning 5 in a row and sneaking into the playoffs. And that's kind of the goal. And I think I'm hoping, you know, everyone in this locker room kind of has that at the back of their mind this whole bye week.
You guys pulled that off last time, too, or a couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago. So that's the, you know, new team, same dream.
Do you feel like everyone in the locker room does have that feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I think, you know, we have a special group and we believe in each other. And, you know, I go to war with any of these guys any day.
Hunter Renfro in the Raiders locker room. You heard what I said right there. Do you feel like everyone in the locker room shares that same feeling? Again, going back to Peters and Teamer, that was exactly why I asked that question. It's because of those two guys that I felt like were not in on the team. They were in on the eye. And obviously the Raiders felt the same way. It's not like I'm breaking news. Right. Obviously, the Raiders felt the same way, as they both guys have been waived today for two different reasons, one on the field, the other off the field. But both situations were more eye than they were team, and that obviously was not able to cut it and is not going to cut it. And I think that that made a statement. I think Champ Kelly is the interim GM and Antonio Pierce is the interim head coach. Both made a statement, right? And Amber Theo Harris brought it up in the conversation we had earlier. One of the things that she loved the most about AP taking over as the interim coach was when he yelled at Marcus Peters on the field, effing tackle, and threw his hands up. Like, it's not that hard. That's your job. Do it. She said that caught his attention, or caught her attention when that happened. And, you know, we all saw what happened in Detroit. We saw when he got the pick six, all of a sudden he left the game with cramps. And I say that in air quotes, cramps. How convenient. You get a pick six, shine for about 12 seconds, and then, oh, yeah, I got cramps. I got to leave the game. It was never a we thing. It was always an I thing, and that's not going to cut it. But I think that the all the interims, as far as head coach and GM goes, made a hell of a statement by, instead of just letting that linger and fester, decided to just move on from both guys who clearly were not in on the team aspect. One guy who's always in on the team aspect is Josh Jacobs. He had 110 yards. One was 63 yards to the house. It had a hell of a stiff arm. That was a hell of a play that he made, and really the Raider Nation needed that, especially after the Raiders had missed that field goal to go up 10-0. Obviously, it was not enough. They went up 14-0 after this big run by Josh Jacobs and wasn't able to really get anything else going as they only scored 3 points the rest of the way. But we also caught up with Josh Jacobs in the Raiders locker room following the game. Here's that conversation.
What changed, Josh? You guys had a good momentum going. You guys were up 14-0. All of a sudden, something happened.
I don't know. I think that, I don't know. Yeah, that missed field goal, I feel like, I didn't even know we missed the field goal, so I don't know.
Despite the loss, you had some times where you had explosive plays. How does it feel to do that for your team in front of a rivalry game like this?
I mean, it's all right, I guess.
In your experience, success on third down, is that more indicative of the play call or the player just making it better?
It's definitely a combination of the two, for sure. Because you got to be put in a position to win, and you also got to win. So, yeah.
You felt like they defended you differently after your long run?
Nah, they was – I didn't even feel like they – yeah, nah. Nah. Nah.
Josh, was it more, you know, them making adjustments or more what the offense wasn't doing right?
Nah, I mean, we knew what they was going to do when we came out. I mean, it was running outside zone. Obviously, you got to, you know, stop the outside zone, so – we had adjustment, but, you know, it just didn't work out that way.
What's the bye week coming up? How much is that needed for you guys to kind of recover, recuperate, and get the mindset right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time, you know, for a lot of these guys that's been in this, you know, in the building or whatever. You know, it's just being able to get your body right and be fresh and things like that. For me personally, I feel good, so, yeah.
Guys, earlier in the week, you had mentioned how you wanted at least 20 touches. You got that, most of that in the first half. What did that do for you to get it going?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we started fast. We started how we wanted to. We just then, you know, sustaining it towards the end.
Josh Jacobs in the Raiders locker room right there. And, you know, he talked about it. And that's one of the questions that I threw out there. What's up, brother? How you doing? That's one of the questions I threw out there. What was the turning point in Sunday's loss to Kansas City? And he mentioned, you know, he felt like the missed field goal is what changed, right? As you heard him say, his words, not mine. He didn't even know that they missed the field goal, right? He didn't even know. So that's the situation. And again, to me, that was one of the big turning points right there is the missed field goal or not going for it on fourth and one, whatever you just think is the right decision. Obviously, that point right there was something that hurt, regardless how you look at it, right? Whether it was not getting the 3 points or not going for the gusto and trying to get a touchdown, one way or the other. That was a big moment in the game as the Raiders lose 31-17 to the Chiefs and drop to 5-7 as they head into their bye week. 4:28 is the time. We'll come back. We'll see Robert in San Jose and Raider Reggie. We'll get to both of your calls. Plus, we'll hear some from Antonio Pierce. We got an opportunity to catch up with him earlier today at the Intermountain Health Performance Center. We're live at the Oyo Hotel and Casino, the Underground Lounge with Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by PortaSubs. Make sure you check out PortaSubs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area PortaSubs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
High snap, Mahomes brings it down. Plenty of time to throw. Now pressure from Coons, flushes him out. Mahomes trying to get out of the pocket, and he's swung down for a sack, and it's Max Crosby who rolls off of him, and he breaks him over his leg for a sack on third down.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness, live at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino.
Max Crosby probably playing around 55%, maybe, at max, was able to get to Patrick Mahomes and get a sack. His 11th and a half sack on the season, and that dude is determined to play. He missed all week of practice, was doubtful. 67 guys had been doubtful in the season before him. None of them played. He's the 68th guy, and he went and played, and put it out there as much as possible. And even when they pulled him late in the game, when you knew the game was already over, he got upset and ended up back in the game. Of course, that's what Max Crosby does. We had a chance to catch up with him in the locker room as well. We'll probably get to that. It's a little bit lengthier, so we'll get to that on tomorrow's show. But really good stuff and showed a lot of leadership from Max Crosby, just showing how much he wanted to be out there for his brothers. And that goes back to the conversation we were having about Marcus Peters and Roderick Teamer, guys that aren't putting it all on the line for their brothers. Max Crosby's fighting through hell and high water to make sure he's out there on the field. And, well, he was absolutely out there doing everything he could to help the Raiders try to defeat the Kansas City Chiefs. It came up short, but it wasn't from lack of effort from one Mad Max Crosby. Again, we're at the Oyo Hotel and Casino. We're here every single Monday night for Monday Night Football. The Underground Lounge, newly remodeled. Definitely come on by and check it out. Great TVs, great drink specials, food specials. They got an extended menu that most people don't even know about. And honestly, Ari, you don't even know this. I got to tell you this story real quick. I mentioned earlier that they have the Wheel of Fortune slot zone, and a lot of people are like, oh, you're just giving a commercial. And they have a weekly slot tournament where you can win it to $1,000 in free slot play every Tuesday and Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. So just in the quick commercial break, I had to run to the bathroom, right? And so it's right around the corner. So I ran to the bathroom, and then I came back, and there was a Wheel of Fortune machine. And I was like, oh, what the hell? I'll go ahead and just drop 20 bucks in. It's not my triple double diamond that I always play, but I'll just go ahead and throw 20 bucks in it and just see what happens. Normally, I try not to do that because, well, I lose more times than not on the triple double diamond. The wife always tells me that I lost, and that's always convenient to hear how much you lose when the wife continuously brings that up. So since she's not here, I was like, well, what the hell? Why don't I go ahead and drop 20 bucks in real quick? And just when Wendy said, oh, and she walked by and she said, that must be a triple double diamond. I said, no, it's actually the Wheel of Fortune game that I've been telling everybody about. So I think I spun it about four times, got down to maybe like 10 bucks left or whatever, and then all of a sudden it was like, bink, bink, bink. And when I hit, it's like, and all of a sudden it was like, and it made some loud noise, and I was like, damn, getting people's attention. I don't want people's attention, right? So then it said spin the wheel. So that's the opportunity that you have on the Wheel of Fortune one. When you get to spin the wheel, then you can land on anything. You know, a free game, 10 free games, $5, $50, whatever the case may be. Let's just say when I spun the wheel, I've got enough money for my haircut for this upcoming Saturday. I told Wendy when I won, I said I got haircut money and maybe a couple snacks afterwards. Maybe a cold beer or two.
I was holding on for dear life for the ending of that. Like, could have went anywhere, right? So I was just curious. That's awesome.
The point is I won.
We love winners.
Right, exactly. And if I had told the wife that, oh, hey, I just won, she said, yeah, what is that compared to all the times you've lost? So I wanted to share it with someone who wasn't going to tell me that. So
let's enjoy this moment.
Right, exactly.
For another 24 minutes.
it's like a fresh haircut, right? It's like a fresh haircut. You go and get that haircut, and you wish that it could stay that way forever. And less than like a day later, all of a sudden you start to see it start growing. You're like, damn it. You know, that's just how it is. I always try to find a way. I wish I could like freeze my haircut, but I can't. So,
hey, well, congratulations. We'll live it up, like I said, for the next 23 minutes now.
Right, exactly. We'll live it up that way.
And get yelled at.
And then I'll get home. I'll get yelled at. I'll try to play again to show that I am a winner and I'll lose. And then it'll just prove her point to be absolutely 100% correct. But you are not me, and you can win. All you got to do is come on by here and play the Wheel of Fortune slot zone. Apparently, that's a good one. And Just Win Wendy, apparently, is good luck. Not only she just win one, Wendy, she helped me just won. So there you go. So we appreciate Wendy for stopping by, and she's living up to her name. Let's go out to the phone lines, though, 702-365-9200. Let's talk to our guy in the 408, man, Robert in San Jose. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Robert?
Thanks for taking my call, Q. I, like you, am in need of a haircut myself, and I text my barber, and the Wheel of Fortune slot machine happens to be the only one I actually like, so right on to you.
Boom, there it is.
In terms of the Raiders, your boy Vinny and I kind of been going back and forth a little bit in the morning show. He seems to think it starts as the quarterback, and I'm old school. I'm going to be 59 in January, and it starts with the offensive line as far as I'm concerned. I think if we put a quality offensive line in front of Aiden O'Connell, he made some quality NFL throws yesterday, especially that one to Jacoby Myers. And I want to see what this guy has in terms of the coaching staff. I'm feeling Antonio Pierce. I love Patrick Graham. The Raiders are playing the best defense they've played in 30 years. I can't remember the last time you could say the Raiders were 13th in scoring defense in any week of any season in the last 30 years. So I don't want to start all over again. You know, Champ Kelly, Antonio Pierce, you know, give them 3-year deals. and let's roll with it and see what goes forward. I happened to look on the NFL website to see, just in terms of quarterbacks, how many number one quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl, and it's not that many. You know, in terms of giving up your entire draft to move up to number one or number two, whatever, it's really not worth it.
Right.
And especially if you look at it from 1980 till today, almost a quarter of Super Bowls, or at least a tenth of them, have been won by quarterbacks, Joe Montana and Tom Brady, one third round, one sixth round. It's rare that a first round quarterback has won a Super Bowl. Pat Mahomes is one of the few. He wasn't number one overall. He was number 10.
Right.
We don't need to give up the draft to move up and get Caleb Williams. As much as I'm a USC fan, I love Caleb Williams, and I'd love to see him in a Raider uniform. Build the team around O'Connell. Continue to build the defense. Give him a quality offensive line. I'm not saying not draft a quarterback in the draft next year. We do need to do that. Mm-hmm. But I can go with O'Connell and Garoppolo at 1-2 and draft a quarterback and not give up my entire draft and next year's draft to move up and get, you know, the next Pat Mahomes. What are your thoughts?
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate you, Robert. And, yeah, that's a great question. And, look, I'll start with Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think he's going to be on the team next year. I think Jimmy G, one, makes way too much money to be a backup, and, two, I don't think he's the answer at the quarterback position. I didn't think that from the jump. Right before he ever was a member of the Raiders, I didn't think he was the right guy. Just for availability alone, I think what we saw from him so far, and this is not a shot at him, and this is not me trying to be disrespectful, it's just reality. It doesn't look like his arm is where his arm needs to be. Let's just put it like that. I think what you see from Aiden O'Connell and his ability to stretch the field is something that the Raiders need, and that's not something that Jimmy G does very well. I just think that was a bad decision. I can appreciate who Jimmy is. As a leader, I think he's helped Aiden O'Connell get to where he's at right now. You see him warming him up on the side each and every game, right? Every time that the Raiders offense is about to go on the field, he's out there catching passes from Aiden. So I think Jimmy's doing all the right things. No fault of his own. He's just not the right guy, in my opinion. Now, when it comes to the quarterback and who you're going to have lead forward, that's where you've got to make a strong decision. This is my thing. If Aiden is not your guy, and I'm not saying that he's not, you have five more games to prove. I think we'll all have a great idea of who he is or who he isn't by the end of the season. I think that that's fair to give him that stretch, and that's why I'm so glad he's getting back-to-back games so it's not start and stop like L.A. traffic, right? I'm so glad that that's not the situation. I'm glad that he gets this stretch run to show you exactly who he is. By that time, you'll know who he is. So if you have the conviction that he is your guy, then do exactly what you just said. Build up the offensive line, build up the offensive line, and build up the offensive line. And because you know he's not going to be running around the yard. Me personally, I prefer someone that has a little bit of mobility. He doesn't have to be fleet of foot. Doesn't have to be Justin Fields. Doesn't have to be Lamar Jackson. Doesn't have to be Jalen Hurts. Has to be a guy that's going to be able to pick up the yards when need be. Right? I mean, you saw Justin Herbert last night against Baltimore. Right? All of a sudden he turned the corner and he was able to pick up, you know, nice chunk yardage and be a threat with his legs, even though that's not obviously what he wants to do. You've got to have someone, I think, and that's just my opinion. But that's not who Aiden O'Connell is. So if you feel like he is the guy that you can move forward with, then you have to do everything in your ability to build up that offensive line. It's like Lincoln says when he joins us on Tuesdays, the big mistake the Raiders made was put Jimmy G as the quarterback knowing that he's injury prone, and you didn't build up the hell out of that offensive line. Like, that's if your guy is going to be that guy, you better protect the hell out of him. You better have that offensive line built up like you had when you had Rodney Hudson and you had Kelechi Osemele and you had Donald Penn. And you know what I mean? Like, that's what it's got to look like. You had Gabe Jackson. That's what it's got to look like. It's got to be solid, man. From left to right, it's got to be solid if that's the quarterback that you're going to roll forward with. But if you don't think that that's your guy by the end of the season, then I do think that it's time to stop playing around. And I do think it's time to stop just saying, well, maybe get lucky in later rounds. I understand completely what you're saying about first-round quarterbacks. But if you've got to identify your guy, whoever that is. If it's a first-round guy, so be it. It's a first-round guy. If it's a second-round guy, so be whatever. I thought Jalen Hurts was the guy. I'm not trying to, you know, all of a sudden sound like a genius. But I'll tell you, when Carr was still the Raiders quarterback and Hurts was coming out of the draft, I pounded the table a bazillion times saying, you should go get Hurts because of his work ethic. He's not the best in college, but he's going to work his ass off when he gets to the league and show you that he can be the best. And I thought that the Raiders made a mistake by drafting Damon Arnett instead of going ahead and using that second first-round pick on Jalen Hurts, a guy that could have had 5 years. He could have had a fifth-year option, let him sit behind Carr and develop, and then when you're ready to make the move, if you're ready to make the move, then you go to him. If Carr ended up being the dude and he leads you deep into the playoffs and he's a Super Bowl guy, guess what? You could always flip that quarterback. So it's a win-win situation as opposed to the situation you're in now, where you're fishing for your quarterback, and, oh, by the way, the guy you drafted in the first round is not in the league. He's been to the penitentiary more times than he's been to the Pro Bowl. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but it's the truth, right? I mean, that's just the harsh reality of it. Dude's been arrested more times than he's been, you know, in game action, and it sucks. But that's who you spend a first-round pick on. And you knew how many risks there were when you took him. That was their words, not mine. So that's what I think. So at some point, you either have to make a decision one way or the other. You know what they say, like S or get off the pot? That's what you got to do. You got to S or get off the pot. It's just that simple. You make a decision, you're going to roll one way or the other. I know one guy that makes plenty of decisions one way or the other. It's Raider Reggie. You're up next. What's on your mind, brother?
My dude, hey, you got me so fired up right now because I forgot about my most frustrating draft. And I know we've had some dumb moves. But that move right there that you're talking about, even though we had Carr, I'm like, you don't have to wait until you need one to get one. And you got Jalen right here. Oh, man, you talking about sick to my stomach. I was so pissed off. I literally remember throwing my phone because we went and got I ain't even going to say it, man. I almost slipped up. Anyway, we got a choice that we could have made, a much better decision. And then another thing you said about the line, I don't care who you got at quarterback. You beef up that line so you can protect him as well.
Yeah,
it don't matter who you got. Make that line untouchable because whoever you have, whether they be a guy that can run or not, they're protected.
I agree with that,
yeah. Somebody like O'Connell right now protected would be better. But I think we do need somebody that's got some agility about himself. I do like O'Connell, but before this year, before last year, I'm like, man, we got to get somebody that has the ability to be a threat on the move. But you know what? Going back to what your question was about the turning point, being in that stadium yesterday and feeling the hype that was there all the way up to that moment of the field goal that we missed. The air was taken out of that stadium. We didn't get the fans back at all. It was like, if you're going to be fighting for home field advantage in any sport, you got to have that fan base going crazy. And we lost it, and we never got it back. And yeah, when he missed it, I was just like shocked because ain't nobody expecting that to happen.
Right.
But hey, it is what it is. You are so dead on with this situation when you make the damn decision, man. Don't sit here guessing and wondering. You need to right now make up your mind.
Yeah.
So I hope Aiden does what he needs to do to keep the job, but I also say you go get somebody that can move, man. Raider Nation, stand up. The Silver and Black Panther is back. Let's go.
There he goes, Raider Reggie. Yeah, make a decision, man. Either jump in or don't, right? I mean, it's one way or the other. Don't dip your toes in and act like you know, you might kind of want to get in, but then you don't. Like, look, either you do or you don't. Just go ahead and make it happen. Really good stuff, man. Great call. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. And, yeah, the crazy thing is that the stadium was so pumped at one time, and the Chiefs fans, there were a lot of them there, they were all of a sudden quiet. You didn't hear nothing from them. Then all of a sudden, missed field goal. Then Jacobs has that big run. Then all of a sudden, Raider Nation comes alive again. And then after that, I think everybody felt all of the momentum starting to slide right out of Allegiant Stadium, right out those windows that are never open, those windows out there by the torch that are never open, that everyone wonders when they're going to open, if they're going to open. Felt like all the momentum slid right in the cracks of those windows. Like, yeah, we are gone. 4:47 is the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, close out the show. We're at the Oyo Hotel and Casino. The Underground Lounge is where we're at every Monday night. We're Monday Night Football, Raider Nation Radio, 920.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness, live at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino.
We got Antonio Pierce sound. We'll have that tomorrow. We just ran out of time on today's show. We got so much to get to, which is a good thing. It's a good problem to have. You know, there could be some shows that start scrambling and look like the computer when it's thinking, right? You got that little circle that's going around, like, you know, it ain't there yet. Yeah, it's buffering, right? Like YouTube TV does on a Sunday Ticket at times, where it's buffering, and you're like, come on, man, think about what you're doing. We ain't got that problem around here. We run out of time, and that's a good problem to have, so we appreciate that. But I do have some text messages I want to get to before we wrap up the show because, well, we appreciate all the feedback we get. Mark in Jersey said, to compete in this division, we need a mobile quarterback that can make plays from the pocket and plays on the run. That's Mark in Jersey. Brad in Concord said, so for me, it felt like the turning point was the missed field goal. Not that a single missed field goal should completely turn the game around, but this team is not to the point of being able to overcome little in-game setbacks like that or any others. Regarding the gap between Raiders and Kansas City, I think individual talent at least matches Kansas City. Collectively, the difference is the pass rush isn't there. The blocking, though better, isn't up to par, and the play calling just seems deficient in comparison. Thanks, as Brad and Concord. And I'll say this, Kansas City really kind of changed the game when they all of a sudden ramped up their defense, right? I mean, we always know that their offense is going to score points, but now their defense is up there playing like they were, and the Raiders were handling them. That's what the frustrating part about that loss is. They were handling them early. It's like, yeah, you got this tough defense. Yeah, no worries. Devontae's going to get catches. Jacoby's going to get catches. Josh is going to run. Yeah, no problem. And, you know, that's the thing about it. The Raiders did that against the Jets, too. They were able to do it. So when things click for the Raiders, and I think this is what's most frustrating for Raider Nation, when things click for them, they click. And they really work. And they look really good. And it doesn't matter how strong your defense is. They're able to handle it. But when things don't click, and when things start to go south, boy, they go south. You know what I mean? Like the guy that says, you know, how you doing today? You know how I'm doing? I'm doing bad, right? I mean, you know, that happens. When it gets bad, it gets bad. Sir Whiskey Ray said, good afternoon, gentlemen, on this Therapy Monday. I'm disappointed that we blew an early 14-point lead versus KC. I just knew this was going to be true when we jumped to that early lead. There was no way the Chiefs would go down like that. We scored only 3 points in the second half and gave up 17. Sorry, gentlemen, that's not acceptable, and it shows with another defeat to the Chiefs. On another note, I'm glad my San Jose State Spartans took down UNLV on Saturday. However, my Spartans got hosed by not being able to play in the conference championship game. Came down to the computer rankings, unfortunately. That's it for now, as I'm going to make a drink after venting here. It's happy hour somewhere, right? Sir Whiskey Ray. And then another text from Sir Whiskey Ray Q. Major shout out to Ari for playing some sick beats this afternoon. I'm loving it. There you go. So Ari getting a little bit of love right there as he's on the wheels of steel back in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. And you hear the music. It ain't the sick beats, but it's the beats that let you know it's time for us to get up out of here. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell up out of here. If you ain't with the DJ, you got to go. That's what they say in the club, right? If you ain't with the DJ, they don't even say with. They use another word, but I'll keep it friendly, family friendly for the show. If you ain't with the DJ, you got to go home. So we're at the Oyo, the Underground Lounge. We're here every single Monday night. The Bears and the Vikings will close out Week 12 action, so you can check it out on these mini screens, get some food, get some drinks, and have a good time with Raider Nation and everyone else that's here gathered as they are each and every Monday night. Appreciate all the love, Raider Nation. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 5 p.m. on Raider Nation Radio 920. Have a fantastic evening.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.